Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Attenzione! Allarme qualità audio. Attenzione! Indipendentemente dalla nostra volontà, l'audio di questo podcast non è qualitativamente eccelso. Ciò nonostante, la redazione di Fantascientificast ne ha scelto ugualmente la distribuzione, poiché i contenuti sono interessanti ed il livello dell'audio non pregiudica la loro comprensibilità e fruizione. Ringraziamo fin d'ora i nostri pod ascoltatori per la loro pazienza e comprensione.
Scotty, we need power.
Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia.
Potato,
you say potato.
Ah, oh, we finally got that.
That's how that does it go
that's
on?
That's how it goes.
That's
and that's how the whole thing
goes. Yes.
Yeah. See, here. This is how we're starting the show.
Yes, here we go. This is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's.
You want me to?
No. I'll hold it and we have
No, you do it.
No, you do it with me.
No? No, you
okay, I'll start it off and then you join me when you feel comfortable. Okay, but tell me when we start.
Yes, we can start.
Oh, we started?
Yes.
Hi, I'm me. You're me too? Oh my God, we have two me's. Me. See, it all works. Is that work in
yes.
Italian?
Yes.
Me, me, me?
Yes.
Mimi, 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 or Doe a Deer. Max and I did a show. We were on a cruise ship together a couple of weeks ago, and I introduced him to all my songs, and he introduced me to all his songs. So I'm bringing you this song live from the Klingon Empire. You probably heard it because you had Max as a guest, and he probably sang
it. No, we didn't hear it.
Oh, you didn't hear it? So it goes... Yo ho, yo ho, a Klingon's life for me. Yo ho, yo ho, a Klingon's right life for me. Our alcohol's bloody, we drink with our buddies. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We sing and tell stories of battlefield glories, of victories won long ago. With honor to Kalis and heroes less famous who've fallen in many a war. Our glasses are raised to those we praise eternally in Stovokor. Yo ho, a Klingon's life for me. Yo ho, yo ho, a Klingon's life for me. We love eating ga, no bagels and lox. Our coffee is ractigino. Our women are rougher, our foreplay is rougher, with biting from head to toe. Yo ho, yo ho, a Klingon's life for me. Yo ho, yo ho, a Klingon's life for me. Our favorite cheer isn't really yo ho, it's not yippee, hooray, ho, hurrah. When we want to properly cheer at the opera, we use a hearty kapla. Kapla, kapla, Klingon's life for me. Kapla, kapla, a Klingon's life for me. Now we have Max Krenenchek to thank for that, because he's the creator of that song.
Bob, so did you do any musical?
Yeah, in my career, I've done two musicals. One was when I was not an actor. I was what they call a tech person in theater. And I hadn't been doing that for very long, but I had done it in high school acting. And I was up doing lights in a show called Charlie Brown. And Snoopy walked out of the show. He got angry at the direction. And he stormed out of the theater. And the director, very frustrated, and we were going up in 3 days, I think, he looked out on all the people in the theater, which was just tech people, and he said, "Does anybody think he can do Snoopy in this show?" And I went, "Yeah, I probably can," you know. And that's how I started my career in acting, by just doing that. But what happened was, to go on with that, is they finally, they had Snoopy, and I did Snoopy, and I was okay. And then they were doing another show, and the actor didn't show up from New York, because we were in upper state New York. And the director said, "Well, you've done that, so why don't you do this other part?" So I did this other part, and it wasn't Snoopy, it was pretty good role, I forget the play. But it was, I forget the play. But anyway, it was pretty much a three-actor play, and two actors were on all the time, and I was one of them. And there was a woman I was playing opposite, and it was a love interest. And opening night, there are two things that happened opening night that were rather rare. They had a bunch of jokesters in the tech department, and they had removed one of the legs of the sofa. So we both sat down at the same time and went right over. You know, so our feet were up in the air, and I was okay because I was fairly young in those days and I could get up, but she was older, and it was a love story between a young man and an older woman. And so I had to get her up, and it was kind of strange. Anyway, I had to lift her up, it was funny, but it wasn't that funny. But during the same night, we were speaking to each other, and it was an old church that had been converted into a theater. And all of a sudden, you look at me, and all of a sudden, this comes out of nowhere. And I looked at, and she was like, "What was that?" And all of a sudden, at me, it was a bat. And it was flying right at both of us, you know, and we're like trying to say our lines. And the audience was howling, you know. It was a comedy, thank God. But that was my introduction to acting. And it's got worse ever since, but I'm kidding. Anyway, so that was, where were we? We were, and the other show I did was Ray Bradbury. I was in a musical that Ray Bradbury wrote. Judy, what was the name of it? Dandelion Wine. I got it. See, I got it. So it was Dandelion Wine. It was a book he wrote about his childhood, I had also done Fahrenheit 451 in Martian Chronicles form. But he called me up and said, Bob, do you want to do, you know, the colonel in Dandelion Wine, which was the old man, and I had a solo. So I'm not used to singing, so they had to hire a kind of an opera singer guy to teach me. And really strengthen my vocal cords for the song. And every night I had like 30 actors behind me singing chorus, and I was like the only one who didn't know music. You know, so go figure.
Did you have a coach for, you know, for the Klingon?
No. There are no coaches for Klingon because they wouldn't last long. They would probably be killed by the Klingon. It's like, you know, just the way Klingons are. You're going to coach me? No, I don't think so. But
we have a question.
Yes.
We have to try prune juice.
Not while I'm filming. Where is Gowron? He's in the bathroom again. But I like prune juice. Prune juice is good, but I like prunes better. But prune juice is okay.
Okay. You know? And do you know any famous, you know, Italian actor or Italian director apart from Fellini, of course?
Fellini, yes, and
Mastroianni.
Yes. And I think
Anna Magnani. You told me.
Yeah, Magnani, and well, of course, Lola Bridger.
You see?
Yes. You know, but
who just passed away, you know that.
Yes. And, Yes, of course, yeah.
See?
Of course.
But you call her Sophia Loren.
Well, no, everybody else does in America, but no, I do it the proper way. See, when I was in grade school, I bring the apple to the teacher. Do you have that tradition in Italy?
No.
No? Oh, in America, it's if you want to make a great impression on grade school, on your teacher, you bring an apple, you know. Then she'll put up with you.
Bye, Marco.
The which?
The Circuit, 2019. There were a lot of people from Star Trek. But it looks like an independent or self-funded movie.
What was the name of it?
The Circuit.
The Circuit. Yes. You know, that was, I've never been able to figure that out myself. Yes, but it was, he took interviews that he had found and put them all together, and then nothing happened with it. And so I actually never put it in my, but other people did put it in my biography because it was.
IMDb, yes.
Yeah, it's IMBD. And so everybody goes, what is that? You know, and I think it was out for like a month or two somewhere. And I think maybe what happened was the Star Trek attorneys, you know, Paramount attorneys probably shut them down, you know, or something like that. But you're right, I have seen it, and then I forget that it was out there. But yes.
But it's a picture or it's an interview? No,
it's not a picture, it's a documentary of a bunch of actors having from Star Trek having interviews, but the interviews were from different sources, I think. Now, I could be wrong about that because I've never actually seen it. So it's just what I heard. You've seen Ira's documentary. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is quite good.
We saw it. I think we were the first one to saw the first scenes.
Oh.
In the world.
Oh, really?
Yes, Ira was here.
Oh, David Ira Zappone, was here.
David Zappone was here and Lolita was here.
Yeah.
I was the first.
You were the first. Were the first. Yes, that's true. The first in the world, probably.
In the galaxy.
In the galaxy. Yes. Except in the home world. We saw it a little bit before you did.
Because it was the original version.
Because we're Klingon.
No, maybe because the original version was shot in Klingon.
Yes, you're right. Exactly. You're right. You're good. Yeah. You keep up with the furniture. I like that.
Emilio aveva una domanda. Ah no, hai fatto mi?
No, era il simbolo del circuito.
Per favore, gli meni. Ti prego, menagli.
What happened?
No, not in Emilio. Emilio.
This was in Minneapolis when we were.
There you go.
The circuit sign. Yeah. Because there was Manu Tiriami there talking about the circuit.
Oh, so you were there? Did you see it?
In Minneapolis, no. He was still producing it. He was talking about it.
Was the guy short hair, gray?
Manu Tiriami.
Yes, who played the Borg child in a Star Trek The Next Generation episode.
I don't know. I don't, yeah.
Vabbè.
Yeah.
No, mi fai così.
You were in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Was it cold?
No, in May, I don't know.
Oh,
it was the start of the mosquito season.
Oh.
They have
big mosquitoes there. Yeah. Yeah, we sent them from the Empire down to cheer them up, you know.
You know, Bob, I think you are the first guest, Star Trek guest, we had here that loves so much his character on Star Trek. I mean, I think it shows that you were a fan of the original series.
Yeah, I mean, I was, and I still am.
It's not so usual to find actors that played a role in Star Trek, in any Star Trek series, and that were
Star Trek fans
or science fiction fans.
Yeah, I know J.G. Hertzler, Martok, he was too, but not to the degree I was. I was like a big fan, but he loved the show too. And I'm trying to think of Max... No, Max probably wasn't, you know. Yes, and I think that showed with her work in the show too. And I thought after she was on, whether it was timing or her being on, I think that made the show very popular.
Yes.
And I think the first two seasons were rough on Next Gen.
Excellent scripts, like but very rare, like The Measure of a Man.
Yes, but it was also there was makeup problems, there was hair problems, there were definitely wardrobe problems.
Oh my God, the uniform of Diana Troy were.
Oh yeah, it was like I mean, it was not good, you know what they put her in, and then they worked all that. The kinks, in English, we'd say the kinks. Is that translate?
Yes.
Yeah. And it got better by the third season, but it was when Whoopi came on, and I did meet her once. I don't think I was filming, but she was, and I was on the set and I met her. So that was the only time I did. But that would have been a fun scene, Klingon with her. She would have dressed us down. You know?
It's a beautiful character, Guinan.
Yeah, it is. It was. I enjoyed the role. You know, I didn't do the role, but I liked the role.
Domande?
Yeah.
Raffaele, dormi?
So you're forcing me to do Klingon opera for 16 hours, and then you guys can't move, you know?
Domande qualcuno?
Actually, you mentioned that you took some of the gestures and when you were an actor poet, so on. So because that's something that gives depth to the character. And,
yeah, I stylized. What was the show? It was. It was one of the first three shows. Oh no, it was when Charlie Cooper, Kempek, died, and I talked it, and there was no stage directions, and I felt that it had to be stylized. Is that? So I made suggestions to Patrick, and Patrick said that's a great idea because he agreed with me. It should be, you know, something that was stylized, and I did the thing where you come in like this, and then, you know, that's the pain stick. That's an idea, pain stick for a dead body. Only a Klingon would think of that. So anyway, so I stylized it like this, and then went like that, like stabbing him with an electric, the pain stick. And he doesn't move, so he's dead. But that's not enough. You have to hand it down to what was her name in the character? It was Worf's wife. First wife.
Kalar.
And Kalar takes it, and she does the same thing as I do. And then Duras, of course, is just, can I say a bad word? He's just an asshole. And he takes it, you know, one-handed and goes, and he's a brat, you know. And so, you know, I think it showed who Duras was, and everybody disliked Duras, so... that was the way to go with that. And then we stylized another thing. And it was a more formal thing. And I may have had something to do with, this had been done before on start, you know, because he had been rejected and they did the turns. But there was something else Patrick and I did together. But then when it came to me being, well, I'll have to get up and show on this, but, and where's my, we gotta, yep, okay.
But actually, I won't use it right. I'm not gonna sing it, and I'll be loud. But okay, because I have to use both hands to show you what happened.
Patrick, you know, when I'm, Klingons don't get crowned by a crown, we get robed. And Charlie Cooper was the guy who was the previous Klingon leader. And he was 6'5", and he was about, I don't know, 300 pounds. And he was a big, big, huge man. And that was his robe. And I didn't realize the robe was that heavy. But when you're shooting, Patrick, if you ever watch it again, watch Patrick's face on some of the shots. He's like this for, you know, maybe a minute or two where he's standing there. But in film time, we had to shoot that like 3 hours.
Oh my God.
So he's got this really heavy Klingon cloak and he's going like this. And every time there was a cut, he'd go, oh. You know, and I could hear it behind me. And then at one time there was a big guy, another big guy, and he was standing way to the right of us. And he was about 6'4", maybe 6'5", a two. He was very large guy. And why they did this to him, they put these heels on his feet that were 3 inches, all the way, you know, all the way across. So he was like on stilts. And so he was, and the stage was raked just a little bit. And he got over to the edge, and Patrick said something to him, and he said, yeah. He said, well, maybe you could move that.
heard a noise, Patrick and I heard a noise, and we're like,
where is he?
What? Where is he? He went right up to the stage. And he was okay, but, you know, we both went and got him. But anyway, going back to the road, so over and over again, we'd get to the point where, you know, I was supposed to be on road, but everything had to be perfect with this director. It was over and over again, Patrick's just like, oh! Then finally, it came to the point where I was kind of giggling. I was enjoying this, his pain and suffering.
So clean, though.
Riley, you know, I'm good. But it was okay. It was fun between us. And then what happened was, it finally came to the moment where I was getting the rope, and he drops the rope on my shoulders, and I just went. Oh. And it weighed about 40, 45 pounds. I mean, and it was just draped over me. And then I had to stay in that robe for a long time. And it was hot on that set. I mean, it just was, you know, I was just like, then with the makeup people, okay, you have wardrobe people
for the wardrobe.
You've got hair people for the hair, and you've got makeup people. And after you start sweating, everybody's coming, you're filming, and they go cut. And then all of a sudden, everybody comes in front of you, like this. Like you're not there, you know? And they're all arguing with each other about the hair and the makeup, and the hair department and the makeup department are blaming each other for this and that and this. And you're just staring at them, going like this. Hello, I'm a human being, I'm a Klingon, you know.
You're all going to die.
Yeah. And then it's like ignoring you. They're doing what they're doing, and it's, but that's real. You know, it's very funny and very crazy to get, to be a Klingon when you're filming, you know. It's better to be a Klingon here. It's easier.
Matteo, hai una domanda tu?
Yes.
Stage.
Yes.
That training helps you in your acting career, also for the voice, for the.
It does. It definitely. I mean, he taught me a lot about voice, and about breathing, and I should do it more. I'm in a choir now, and so I should go back to it, but I'm kind of lazy. But you know. My wife, she's in the choir too, and she's much more disciplined than I am. Klingons are not very disciplined. You know, it's like we're warriors. We're not, you know. It's we'll practice with a batleth, and that's about it. You know, that's enough. But yeah, he was really good with me, and he taught me a lot of things. One of the things I don't even know whether I even should talk about, but tincture of iodine, if you have lost your voice because of an illness or something and you still have to sing, there's an old cure that he learned from a black jazz singer from the Deep South that he knew. He was from the South. And it was, you take tincture of iodine and you put it in I guess, if I can remember, I'm probably saying the wrong thing, so please don't do what I'm telling you to do. You'll probably, eyeballs will come out or something. But you heat it up and then you put it in a solution of water and then you put a towel over your head. It's, you know, boiling and steaming. And then you just breathe it in. And through your mouth, so it gets in your vocal cords, and it's good for one song. And that's it. He said it's great for it, you know. So that's what I had. I had one song. Let's see if I can remember.
So it's temporary.
Yeah, it's very temporary, but it saved me one night. I had gotten sick, and my voice was just, you know, just terrible, and. A fog hung low over Fredericksburg, a gunner boy, oh, oh, He asked me, sir, will we take this ground or go up in blood and smoke? I answered, lad, when guns are drawn and the enemy, see, there's the enemies in view. Well, anyway, that's all I can remember, but it went on a bit, but I could get away with one song on that little trick, so he was great. He was, and he put up with me, too, so. Yeah.
Do you prefer playing good guys or bad guys?
Oh, bad guys. Good guys.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Guys are so boring. Bad guys get all the great lines. I did a lot of cowboy stuff, and you know, mostly television, but a couple of films and movies of the week, and they're just fun to do, you know. And there's so many shows that I did do that were, it's just fun. Except I wasn't very good at riding horses. The horses knew that I was from New York City and I didn't know anything about horses, and they were like, we're gonna get you. And directors, when I was younger, would always have me gallop. And horses know that, and I like to gallop. I kind of enjoyed that. Cantering or something in between, I would bouncing up off the saddle, and I wasn't very good at, but the horses would always aim for a tree and a low branch to knock me off, you know? And I'd be going, no, don't go for that tree, no, you know? And the last time I shot a cowboy thing, it was a Willie Nelson, and I had a gunfight. So I went, that's it, that's perfect, you know? It was a TV show. Do you know who Willie Nelson is?
Medicine Woman. Was it Medicine Woman?
Yes, it was Medicine Woman. Yes, yeah. But Willie Nelson, is that?
Yes.
Okay. I just didn't know if anybody knew him here. But to me, it's like, I love Willie Nelson songs. So to have a gunfight with Willie Nelson was like, okay, done with Westerns.
And Bob, the fact of being a fan of Star Trek, of the original Star Trek, help you understanding when you began to go to conventions, because you know many of the other guests, like Gary too for Stargate, said that he was shocked at the beginning when he went to the first convention to see so many people that knew his character and loved his character. I suppose you expected that and you knew how it was going to work or not.
Well, the first one I ever went to was in Cleveland, Ohio. And Frakes was there. So Frakes had hired me, and Michael Westmore had said, you don't understand, Bob, this is a life thing. And I was like, what?
Oh, no, so you too didn't get it.
I didn't get that aspect of it because I really didn't know that there was Star Trek, because I'd never been to a convention.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so when I went to the first convention, I was, I knew it was going to come. I wasn't, you know, because, it, and Frakes was, Frakes was very, you know, he's a jokester. Jonathan Frakes is a jokester. And he was, and I came out on the stage and everybody yelled for me, you know. And then all of a sudden, everybody started yelling for me. And they were yelling for me like crazy, like crazy. What I didn't know is Frakes was behind and parted the curtains and came out and was like going, you know, and was, you know, and I was like, I thought it was for me. I'm going, wow. This is, you know. He's great. He was a great guy. And he hired me, what can I say, for Gowron.
Oh, he was the one who hired
Yeah, yeah. He, well, the director usually gets to choose who's going to be who, you know, who's going to get hired. Unless the producers want a certain person, then they don't even have to audition normally. So if you have to audition, you really, I mean, the executive producers can overrule the director, but they usually don't want to.
I've always thought that it were the producers to hire, who hired the guys, the actors. So well, it's the director to get.
Well, I'll put it this way: if it was a couple of directors on that show, they would get first choice. If it was a couple of other directors on Star Trek, they might not get their first choice because some. Have power, more power than others, and it's like anything, you know.
And Frakes, of course, was already on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes, and he was also, by that time, had directed more than a few, and he was also very good at hiring the right actor for the right job. He hired me, he hired Martok, he hired, probably would be wrong about some of them, but there was a lot of people who became regulars that he hired. There were others like Andrew, who played, what was his character?
Garak,
yeah. Who he was fairly well known in the business, and the producers called him in on that and I think wanted him. So that was something that went a different way. But no, Frakes was instrumental in, you know, hiring me. And then we did, I don't know if you ever got the CD-ROM, it was like a couple of hours long, where I played Gowron, but it was, it's a game.
The video game, you mean?
Yeah, no, not the video game, that was Kavak, that was another Klingon, but I did that. But this was a CD-ROM, and he directed that, and it was, the technology wasn't perfect yet, and so they released it, but it didn't really gel yet.
I don't think we had it in Italy.
Yeah, but you can find it on the internet.
It's
it was the interactive guide to the Enterprise or something like that.
No, that was Kavak. That the interactive game, that was another interactive game. But now you might be right and I might be wrong, but they were both interactive games. But one was Kavak and one was me, and I was teaching a kid named Pock, who was a who wanted to be a Klingon, and that was the game. And I would say, but the other one was another Klingon, and the big name was Beej. And I have grown men coming up to me now who have these boxes of the games, and saying, and they, what did I say? The name is Beej, and I would punish anybody who played with me by you have to have Beej. And they're these huge fans of this, and they played it their whole childhoods, but you know. But anyway, Frakes directed me in this other thing, and you know, he's just a wonderful director. But one of the If you ever get on the internet, go see me doing a scene with what the heck was the name of the, they were really stupid aliens, like.
Pakmara.
Pak. What are they called?
Pakmara.
Yes, yes. Yes. And I would, you would talk to them, and they go, no, we are not Klingon, we are Pak. And it was yeah, you remember? Yes, Scott McDonald, and he sang the Klingon song. Yeah, Scott McDonald. Yeah, good memory. Yeah. So you have seen it. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Is it Star Trek Klingon? I have it too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, but Frakes directed that whole thing. Yeah. That was the funniest scene I ever did, because I couldn't stop laughing at that guy. He was like, and he just cracked me up. And I'd say, Frakes, I can't act with this guy. He's too funny. He really was. He was a brilliant actor. Anyway,
talking of funny things, have you ever watched Galaxy Quest, the movie?
Yes, absolutely. And the actor who played kind of my kind of character was, he was in Harry Potter too, but
yes, Alan Rickman.
Yeah, Rickman, and he was just brilliant in it. And it was funny. I was coming back from a convention, and I was. What happens in LA is if you park your car outside the airport, you get a bus that picks you up, and then when you get back from the plane, you get that same bus, and they takes you to. So I'm in the bus, and these two people and another person there, and I'm sitting over here, and this is the conversation they're having. Did you see it? The Galaxy Quest? And he said, well, we're the producers of it. We produced. And he said, really? And he was another producer. And they started talking, and they started talking like, I didn't know about Galaxy Quest, but they started talking like,
like the aliens.
Like it was Star Trek in a convention. And I'm going, what are they talking about, And because I'm just coming back from a convention and they're talking about a movie that's about a convention. And they were talking about it. And I was like, and I didn't want to interrupt them, by saying, well, I'm a Klingon. Because I hadn't seen the movie yet. But it was really like incredible timing.
You know,
the universe, maybe I should have said something, They would have gone, nah, I don't believe it. Because I've had people who
didn't believe that you played.
This is a funny, in basketball, you have basketball in Italy, I know, because some of our players come over here and play, and it's really good basketball. In the States, way back when, we had the Lakers, and there was a guy named James Worthy, who's also a Star Trek fan, and he's about 6'11", 6'10". He's very tall. And I'm coming back from a convention again I was going to a convention in Tampa Bay, Florida, from L.A., and on walks the plane is James Worthy, and I'm a big fan of James Worthy, and I go, well, how can I do this? How can I walk up to him? And I said, well, maybe he's a Star Trek fan. You never know. And I walked up to him, and I said, hi, Mr. Worthy. How are you? He said, yeah, okay. Because he just thought, it's another fan. It's driving me crazy. We end up. And I said, I'm a fan of yours. And he said, yeah? And I said, yeah. And I said, you like Star Trek? And he said, and he brightened up right away. He went, yeah. And I went, you like Klingons? Yeah. Klingons are my favorite characters. They're great. And I said, you know some of the Klingons? Yeah, I know all of them. I watch Star Trek all the time. You like Caron? Yeah, Gowron, he's the best, he's the best. And he said, I'm Gowron. And he went. No. And I said, yeah, yeah, I'm Gowron, I'm Gowron. He goes, no, you're not. And I said, yeah, I am. And he goes, prove it. And I went, okay. Nah! And he went, woo. He said, yeah, you're Gowron. And so we traded photos. It's a true story. I almost got thrown out off of that plane, though.
I think Sid, when he came here, told us a story, Alexander Siddig.
Yeah.
Sid came here, and he said that he had been stopped at an airport in the United States, I don't know where.
Yeah.
For 4 hours, because, you know, being with this aspect, they thought you could be a terrorist.
Yeah.
So he had to stay there for 4 hours. Then finally they release him.
Yeah.
But before releasing him, they ask for his autograph. And of course, you know, he signed everything because he said they will keep me here for another four hours.
So.
The different name, mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, years ago, I was, have to go through more than it was before 9/11, way before. But my name was the same name as a terrorist in Ireland. So I always used to have to go through, you know, they always take me out of line, and especially in Europe.
Oh.
You know, if I went to Ireland, definitely.
Was it IRA? The guy was from IRA.
Yes. Yeah. And so that happened for about 4 or 5 years. You know, where mm-hmm. I was just always pulled off. You know, and searched, and they didn't keep me that long. They never kept me that long, but you know, maybe 45 minutes, an hour. So I made sure I got. And that was in the days that you used to be able to get on a plane. You just walk. You know, 25 minutes before your plane took off, you just, you know. But because of that, I had to get to, or I always had to get to airports like 2 hours before, you know, which now is normal. Now you just always do it. So, but not 4 hours. That's like, I mean, bizarre, you know. Yeah. Yes?
Are you the character with heavy makeup?
Yes. You know, it's a good question because I was an original fan, and the original Klingons didn't have a lot of makeup. They had some, but nothing compared to. And but I'll tell you when, because I knew what Worf looked like because I'd seen the show, and I'd seen Kemp Peck, and because I'd seen all pretty much. Most of the shows that Klingons were, not all of them. But when I got in the makeup, and you sort of have to close your eyes most of the time when you're in makeup, and my hair wasn't on yet, so, but the first time I opened my eyes and I saw myself, I was like, whoa, you really are Klingon. And it was really exciting. I mean, it really, I really did love it. I got to, not to hate it, but I got to like, oh no, not again, you know. But it was exciting to me the first time, and it really made me feel like a Klingon. It was like, and then when they put the hair on, it's just like, oh yeah, let's go, you know, let's do it. And it was... It the only thing that equivalent that I can say is when an actor does a Shakespeare play and you love the character you're doing, you know, it's a similar feeling. But I think playing a Klingon in makeup was even better. It was the wardrobe that killed you. It was just horrific. You know, it was so hot, and the makeup was ingenious because you could use your face. All of this, it was not covered up with. It had makeup on, but no, like not like the helmet or the nose.
No prosthetics.
Yeah, there was no prosthetics, so you could you felt very free, you know, with your mouth. Although you did have
teeth.
Klingon teeth, but that was always fun too, because you could go, you know, you get an air bubble in, with Patrick and he'd be arguing, you know, with you, and I'd be arguing back, and I'd get an air bubble, and he'd be going, Gowron. And the air bubble would be getting larger in the teeth, and he'd go, Gowron. And I go, twing, and the teeth would just go. No, it never really happened, but he'd go, he'd duck, and he'd go.
He ducked.
I make up stories sometimes.
But no, Manuela just said the Picard maneuver.
Yes. It was, we had fun, but we did have fun on this set, and
how do you feel inspiring by the fact that Star Trek inspired so many people to become scientists, to become astronauts, to become... I think it must be really proud of that.
It is, but I guess individual actor, at least I don't feel like I did that. I feel like Star Trek did that. And the whole of Roddenberry,
the universe,
and him creating that, I'm just part of the wave that caught the wave that he created, and very thankful of it. It's amazing. But I'll tell you, watching the first show, the original, I could totally understand that. You know that. People on Earth, you know, watching that show, you just wanted to get a hold of it, you know, and we all know what the future is. We don't know the negative of the future, but we know the positive of the future. And the positive of the future is out there and in the oceans. And in technology and in science and in trying to get the world to figure out how to live on this planet without destroying it. And the only science and only technology can figure that out. We as a people are just growing, you know, how many years ago, 100 years ago, how many billions were on the planet? I'm not sure if there was a billion. Yeah, and now we're up to 6-7 more? I don't know. And, you know, there's a point in time where we all know that only science and our own discipline can save us. And I had a picture taken with Armstrong.
Wow.
You know, and that to me is like one of the big accomplishments in my life. That he wanted to have a picture taken with me and the other.
The other astronaut, you mean?
Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah.
Michael Collins.
No, I think it was Aldrin. I think it was Aldrin, but.
The second man on the moon.
Yeah. But it was Armstrong definitely, but anyway. But the guy that I had the picture with, who's in the wheelchair, Charles.
Ah, the Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, and Stephen Hawking wanted to have a picture taken with me. And I'm going, what? You know? But his heroes were Klingons. Now, when you think about it, you understand why, because he was in a wheelchair and he wants the strongest, you know. He would. And, But his imagination, it's hard to express, but his imagination was out there, you know. But his work was here, you know. And my imagination also was out there, but my work was here.
Sure.
So that's where we sort of melded together. And he wanted the picture with me, and we had a picture taken. And which to me is a great honor. And and with Armstrong, I couldn't even believe that he would want a picture but it is, I mean, I totally understand, you know, people catching on to Star Trek because it is a future, and it's a beautiful future if we can do it. And that's what this convention is so wonderful to see, because there may not be a lot of people here, but the people are so wondrous in terms of that dream, and dedication in many ways to their whole lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if there are no other questions, I'm going to finish with something that probably will make you laugh.
Okay.
When Samantha Cristoforetti, who is the Italian astronaut that mm-hmm. is a huge Star Trek fan and was just the commander of the International Space Station, the first European woman, right, yeah, to be the yeah, commander yeah. of the International Space Station, when she came back, they always do the flight tour, which means they go, you know, in theater to talk with audience, to promote, you know, whatever. Anyway, some of us, and I had to, a photo with Samantha at 18 years old at the Strate convention.
Yeah. Yes,
I showed you. Okay, I forgot to tell you this.
Yeah.
I was showing the picture to Emilio, maybe, which was near me, and the woman that we didn't know and was seated behind me saw the picture and told me, "Oh, so you are colleagues with Samantha." And no, wait. And my reply, because it was so absurd, you know, that question. And something popped in my mind, and I said, "Oh, yes, we are both in Starfleet."
And it's true.
Yes. Okay, Bob, thank you very much.
Applaus.
Thank you very much. You've been a wonderful guest,
thank
really.
You.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you to Judy, too. Thank you.
My wife. Thanks.
Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia, è un podcast originale Latitudine Zero, da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafini con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof. Massimo De Santo, realizzato da Latitudine Zero Median Fabric. Showrunner Omar Serafini. Sound design Fabio Marchionni e Julian Ziegler. Post produzione Gismar Böhm. Creative producer Annalise Haas e Valentina Folkov. Coordinamento e promozione Verusca Sabucco. La voce di Val 9000 è di Valeria Barbera. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.com, sul profilo Instagram Fantascientificast, sul canale Telegram Fantascientificast e sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity, oppure scrivendoci all'indirizzo email redazione@fantascientificast.com. Tutti gli episodi sono disponibili gratuitamente sul nostro sito e su tutti i principali servizi di streaming on demand. Se volete sostenere il nostro progetto offrendoci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, troverete tutte le informazioni e modalità nell'apposita sezione del nostro sito. Il podcast non intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. Nessun bite e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Val 9000 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento al prossimo episodio lungo la rotta di Kessel. E ricordate, la fantascienza finge di guardare dentro il futuro, ma in realtà guarda il riflesso della verità che è davanti a noi. Scientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.